Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining me for another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and the host of this show. Well, if you didn't get a chance to listen to my last episode we had a special guest on, a guest that I have been waiting an entire year to talk to. We also have her back for this show tonight, which we'll talk very specifically about the paranormal. On the last show, she talked about a little bit about her mother and their experiences dealing with the Holocaust. So if you get a chance, please take a moment and download that show and listen. I think we all could learn a few lessons from a lot of that dialogue mentioned in that show. But tonight we're going to talk paranormal, and we're going to talk about UFOs and experiences and people trying to reach us and people passing away and leaving us signs and messages from beyond the grave. So sit back, grab yourself a bag of popcorn, and enjoy this show, because I think by the time we are done this evening, you'll be very, very intrigued by it. And probably, actually, you could probably relate to most of it. So our guest tonight again is Carmen, and Carmen is going to be very insightful in many of the experiences she has had dealing with the variety of paranormal experiences. And it's actually very refreshing to me to actually talk to somebody who has had as many experiences as I had, because eventually we begin to wonder, is this really paranormal, or is this something that we're doing on our own? And that question, of course, is not being answered currently at this time, but it will be answered, I am sure, as we move through life and trying to get this stuff figured out. The one big question that we all still have is, where do we go when we die? Where does energy go after we die? This is a question that is not answered, cannot be answered at this time. There are many people who are trying to answer that question, and they come up with many, many theories. For example, tonight we'll be talking about UFOs and encounters with that. Very interesting. We'll be talking a little bit about reincarnation. We'll be talking about direct experiences, and maybe even a little bit of animal ghosts along the way. So again, where do we go when we die? Well, perhaps that question might be best answered, I guess, once we die. So, Carmen, that being said, thank you for joining us again for this show. I'm looking way forward to having a good show with you tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Kelly, for having me on again. I hope that this interview will go as well as the last one did.
It will. And we're going to first start tonight with our experiences together in the horse barn at the Minnesota State Fair. And some of you who have been following this show since I aired some of my experiences of that last year will learn a little bit more, as Carmen is here to give us some of her experiences, and I can share some of my own. So let's start with Carmen. So let's start with one of the experiences that you had last year was with the, we'll call it the apparition kid that suddenly appeared and then disappeared right before your eyes. Tell us a little bit about that.
As part of our job in the horse barn, not only do we check people in and out of coming to the horse shows and the horse barn, we also have a job of passing out keys to people that want to take showers. We have two inside showers inside the horse barn, and then four of them on the outside. And what happened is that I handed out a key to a woman. She checked in with me, took the key to one of the showers inside the horse barn, came back immediately, had a frightened look on her face, and said, who did you allow to go into the shower before me? And I said, I didn't. You're the first one to take this key. Well, she said, there's actually a man in the shower, and he's naked, and I just saw him. So I said, you know what, I'll come with you. So we both went back to that shower. The door was open. No one was in there. And I said, are you sure you saw what you saw? And she said, yes, I'm actually a policewoman, and I am not in uniform, but I know what I saw. So we kind of looked around to see if anybody looked like they just came out of the shower. And then near a post, but not too far from where the shower stall or room is, I noticed a young person, a young man, and I looked at him and I said, by the way, is there any chance that you just came out of the shower room? And he said, when I looked at him, he actually said, why are you staring at me? And I said, well, I want to know, did you just come out of that shower? And he said, no, I did not. And so I said, are you sure you're not are you telling me the truth? And then I turned to the woman and I said, is this the man? And when we both looked back, he was gone. She looked down the main aisle, down the aisle to the left. I looked at the one to the right. Nowhere did we see this person. I know that I saw him there, and what was of interest to me is that he had this look on his face, kind of like staring into space, and I noticed that he had a smile, but, I saw the spaces in his teeth, and I thought that's really odd. So I had actually mentioned it to Dr. Kelly that I had seen someone here. He disappeared in midair, and he had spaces in his teeth.
I think what's interesting about that is that you might be thinking right now, well, what's so different about that? There's many people who have spaces between their teeth. Well, let me share with you a little bit about I want to make sure my words are put together right here so it doesn't sound like I'm overly positive of this. There are reports that sometimes when we have a few black-eyed children running around, I don't know if you noticed his eyes at all. Did you notice his eyes? You said he sounded like he had a dazed look, like, you know, and then you might say, well, maybe the kid was on drugs or something like that. But just the idea that he probably wasn't standing at that post before and all of a sudden just kind of shows up. Now, keep in mind, that horse barn is very, very busy. And we have a lot of people moving in and out of that place left and right. But it just seemed a little bit odd, didn't it? And especially, do you think, too, the fact that he got dressed so quickly?
Yes.
That was even more weird, is how do you get dressed so quickly and get out of that showers? Now, that shower. So I'm familiar with those showers. They are inside, and it's not easy to just zip in, zip out, and be unknown. So one of the things about the spaces of the teeth, and also the idea of looking at someone in their face, is the fact that he had a confused look or a dazed look on his face. And the fact, did you say he smiled or just kind of grimaced?
More grimaced. He looked like he was not looking at me, but just staring out in space.
Okay, so once again, you might say, well, maybe he was on drugs. Well, possible, but not necessarily in this case. But then it was, you just turned for what, just a few seconds?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden he was gone, right?
Exactly. Yes, even the lady that saw him, the shower was locked, so she had to use the key to open it. And she said, I was just stunned to see that there was someone in there. And how did he get in there if you needed the key to get in there?
Right. And one thing that you would find in the newspaper, and this is not an uncommon experience, that across the way there's the cattle barn, and there was a young man who committed suicide in that cattle barn a few years ago. And they actually reported this in the newspaper. And so once in a while we have, it's not necessarily a running joke because there's nothing joking about suicide. But one of the things that we all kind of once in a while keep our eye up to is the fact that it's very easy to slip in and out of a very large crowd at the Minnesota State Fair. We are probably one of the most traveled people-wise, I think we topped even all records this year, being 2+ million of people being there. So to have something a little bit unusual like this, is this the same kid that the horse reacted to?
Yes, I believe so. All of a sudden, it was very quiet. Most people had already left. It was after 9 p.m., and all of a sudden, a horse just started kicking the gate of the stall, became very anxious, and we just said, "What's going on? It's quiet in here now. Why is this happening?"
Right. And one of the things about what I learned with horses last year and this year is if they have colic, which is something that's actually very deadly to a horse. If they have colic, they might all of a sudden start reacting very abnormal like that and carrying on and kicking and swirling and moving around and having like a temper tantrum or whatnot. So when you start learning the signs of that, did the horse ever, when the kid left, what did the horse ever calm down?
Yes. Eventually it did.
Okay, and
it was pretty immediate after
he disappeared.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things again about animals is that, and young children, is that they can oftentimes see things that we cannot see. And again, there was a suicide in the cattle barn a very few years back. And to add more to this, I met a woman this year who is a policeman, and she was in the grandstand, just doing a basic, look through, and she looked up into the grandstand, and she says, and she claims that she saw the kid who committed suicide, sitting way at the top next to, like, we have some kind of a, you know, it's not a banner, but it's a lit banner that gives the dates of when the state fair is, and that she saw him once. There was nobody else in that area at all but this one body, and then that he just disappeared. And so this is what I believe is possible that you may have seen, especially with the Disappearance Act. So that's very interesting. I was just showing Carmen, too, some pictures that I took in the horse barn last year around 3 a.m. I worked the graveyard shift. And usually the horses are very calm and quiet, and it's, but it's when they're almost too quiet, and it's usually around 3 o'clock a.m. around that area. And I showed Carmen some pictures of, and I know you can be critical of this all you want to be, but again, I've looked at thousands of pictures that involve orbs, you know, light reflections, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I can honestly tell you that we know for certain that there's one other guest that comes to visit in the horse barn. Carmen, why don't you tell us about that?
Again, this was late in the evening. My shift ends at 10:30. It was before that time, probably 10 o'clock, when I just noticed something kind of floating down the middle aisle. I mentioned it to someone in the horse barn, and they had said, "Oh, that's probably the ghost that floats around here." And I said, "Really?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, that's been sighted many times. She kind of floats through the air. She has a very kind of a floaty type dress on, long dress, floats in the air and goes around the horse barn." And the reason I believe this person, because he actually is one of the supervisors for the horse patrol. And he said, "No, this is really true. You probably saw her." Right. And one of the things about that, too, which is interesting, I believe they have that one reported in the paper as well. Someone did an article on the suicide and this Victorian-looking woman from back in the day that likes to somehow show up in the horse barn and does somehow seem to make her rounds. Now, I haven't seen the floaty woman. I do not believe I have seen the apparitional kid that killed himself. I have seen, though, several indicators, very solid orbs, very not light bounces, not dusty, not anything, because the dust would have settled in the areas that I would have shot these things in or photographed these things in, and also animals. Oh, yes. Did you, Carmen, there was a death of an animal, the dog that you were talking about. Why don't you tell people a bit about that?
Yes, I was told about 5 years ago. The people that came into the horse barn with their horses and were participating in the horse shows were actually able to bring their pets to the horse barn. And so many of them would bring their family dog. As long as they were on the leash, they could be in the horse barn. But at one point, one of the dogs sort of got away from the owner, and we happened to have all the draft horses there that day. And apparently it was a smaller dog, and one of the draft horses was coming through the middle aisle and had stepped on the little dog when he ran under the horse and was killed. And after that, they said no one can bring their pets into the horse barn anymore unless it's a service animal. And that really happened.
Yeah, and so some of these very solid orb type images that showed up in various places, my first inclination and my first thought or intuition was, this looks like something that would be an animal. So Carmen actually told me this story today after I started showing her some of these pictures. I said, you know, this one here probably could be an animal. This one could be an animal. And that's when I learned it for the very first time today about the dog. And there's probably been more deaths, obviously, that have occurred probably on the property, regarding, you know, individuals, regarding animals. And, you know, this fair has been going on for, oh my God, I don't know, a long, long time, 100+ years. Yes. And so, you know, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of energy. One of the things, if you want to call it a human battery, come to the Minnesota State Fair on the final weekend that it's going, and you won't be able to move at all. We, all of us with our energy alone, could create literally a human battery there. It is just so, so full of energy, and it's just almost exhausting, too, actually. If you're an empath or if you're somebody who's highly sensitive, you will find yourself becoming drained very, very quickly, because there's something about that energy that's also very unsettling that just, you know, wipes you out. So very fascinating, though, and very interesting story about the kid, the disappearing kid, and everything, and just the whole aspect of even being seen by people. The other thing that I was told this year, too, is they referred to this woman as the bag lady. And the bag lady here in the United States would be very compared to someone who's wearing very outdated clothes, very old clothes. And you're going to say, well, what's so new about that? I wear outdated clothes. Well, it just so happens that she was also seen amongst the crowd, floating amongst the crowd, and they couldn't see her feet necessarily. And there's a couple of them in the horse barn, what we call barn attendants, staff, who actually saw this and questioned it themselves. But that was also a very, very, very interesting situation. So let's move into, Carmen, let's move into UFOs, because I think a lot of people right now are learning a little bit more about UFOs, and we are questioning with our theories
on what's really happening out there. Why haven't they said anything to us? We've seen this on television. There's more shows than ever on UFOs being brought to our attention. We question about whether or not these are real or not. But I think we have a real life person here who can actually tell you a story about your experience. So Carmen, I'm going to have you tell your story of the UFO or O's that you saw. How long ago was this?
This would have probably been in 2001, 2003, at that time period, maybe a little earlier. One of the things I remember is that I lived out in the country at the time in Independence, Minnesota, and on the other side of Highway 55 was Greenfield, Minnesota. And we were coming home one evening after 9 p.m. With all four children, and we had been at some event at school, basketball or whatever. And as we're driving on County Highway 19, we're near a lot of cornfields. And all of a sudden, my son says, "Mom, what's that bright light up there?" And I look up to the right, and I see this very brilliant, bright light. I had very good vision, I still do, for distance, and I looked. It's not a helicopter, it's not a plane, and it's just hovering over. It doesn't move, it's just hovering there. And I go, "Oh my gosh, maybe that's a UFO." And we waited a while. I kind of pulled over to the side of the road, and I thought, well, maybe it's a crop duster. But again, it did not move. It was just very bright and very low to the cornfield. So then I drove home. I called my brother, who happened to be a deputy sheriff at the time in our area. He patrolled, and he said to me, "You know what? You're the 18th person that's called this in. There were 17 other people that noticed this bright light and had called in and thought perhaps this is a UFO." And so I know that some of you may be skeptical. I probably wasn't a believer in UFOs at first, but after I saw this, I really thought there is such a thing.
One of the things that's being reported right now, and by very credible people, is there are UFOs, but they come in different shapes, sizes, looks, colors. Some appear, and then they can zip off and disappear very fast. I did bring this up on my episode, 50 or 51, regarding you know, shapes and all this, and whether the government has anything to do with it. Well, as most of us know, of course, as the taping of this is just a few days early, we're probably going to hear an awful lot about Area 51 coming up here very shortly. It's been national news all over the place regarding, you know, let's go invade Area 51. Well, we've been all been putting out the message, probably not a smart thing to do, probably should stay away from the place. Don't want to see you get injured, hurt, or even die based on what supposedly was started out as a practical joke. Well, we do know that, and I have never seen yet. I was asked, and I think I brought that up in my episode, whether or not I had a UFO abduction, because I've been having many different kinds of things happen to me or from me or whatever me, and I still to this day cannot answer when that would have happened. I mean, I guess you can erase your memory from it. Again, with all the different types of encounters I've had, and Carmen has also had, you know, and we'll talk to her a little bit about some of the things that has happened with her. I don't know if this is truly all psychokinesis. I just don't know. And how does one ever really know? But bottom line is, we are probably not alone in this universe. We probably have things walking among us. We probably interact with things in front of us, and yet we still don't know the whole story of that. Carmen, what was the situation regarding the chips that you remember? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I began watching a show on TV called The X-Files. I became interested in that show because I did have some paranormal encounters in the past. And I thought, oh, am I imagining this? Am I causing this? So I started watching this program, and it just so happened I watched it every Friday night. I'd make popcorn. I'd sit in front of the TV. The kids were all in bed by this time. My husband came home from work late. He went to check on the kids and say goodnight, and he said, there's no kids in the bedrooms. And I said, what are you talking about? They went to bed at like 8 or 9 p.m. And he said, well, it's 11 now, and I'm kind of worried. And I go, let me go look. And I looked. We looked all over the home. We looked outside. No kids. So then all of a sudden I say, you know, tonight the X-Files had a program on where people were being abducted by aliens, and then they had these chips put in their forehead near their nose. And I said to my husband, I think the kids have been abducted. And my husband said, you know, I'm going to go look for them. Well, when we stepped outside, again, we saw this bright, bright light in the sky. And I said, oh, it's true, it's true. So again, I guess I called my brother, and he said, again, people are calling this in. And I told him the kids are missing. And then my brother said, well, perhaps they're playing night games. So this is kind of funny, but my husband just had his shorts on and a t-shirt. And he said, I'm going to go look around the neighborhood. Well, he got in his vehicle and actually went to Lake Independence, Baker Park. And he thought maybe the kids had gone down there, and the police stop him. And it turns out that they go, sir, what are you doing here in shorts and a t-shirt? And he said, oh, I thought perhaps my kids are playing night games here. Well, they let him go. He comes back home. All of a sudden, all our kids are back in bed. And apparently they dressed in black, and our son was old enough to drive. He was 16, and he wanted to go for a ride with a car that we had parked at the side of the house. And what happened is that my daughter, 16 months younger, said, oh, if you go, I'm going with you. And then the two younger children said, both girls said, well, if you go and you don't take us, we're going to tell mom and dad. Well, anyway, I was convinced this whole time that they were abducted, but they really weren't. But that bright light was in the sky again. And then I started thinking, you know, this has happened again. I really believe, you know, maybe it's not what I saw in the X-Files, but I really became a believer at that point. There is such a thing.
Yeah, so we don't have all the answers. And yet, you know, there's a percentage of the population here who have actually experienced some very unusual and strange type things. So you might say, well, maybe it's the government messing around with their experiments again on the type of crafts that they're making and all this. And we've been hearing lately more than ever that after a certain point in time, all of a sudden the technology just exploded at us. And like, where did all these smarts come from all of a sudden? And, you know, things are being revealed very, very simply and very calmly. And even when I was at the conference, in Las Vegas a few months ago, and I believe that's again on episode 50 or 51 that I talk about that. You know, it's kind of interesting because especially out in the Vegas area and that whole area, there is so much stuff that goes on from a paranormal perspective that it's really difficult sometimes to pinpoint this stuff. So, you know, being abducted and then having your memory erased from that. And yes, I've actually also seen this stuff. And I'm not going to say television tells you the truth all the time. But, you know, when you start compiling enough of this information and you're watching how they're putting their episodes together, yeah, some of it may be for, you know, to make it interesting. But then on the other hand, and I have a law background, there's always a grain of truth in everything that you at least hear or watch or see. So I don't disregard anything. I'd like to do an episode sometime if I can on crop circles. I think that that's fascinating, and I don't know too much about it. I would have to do a lot of research on it, but I'd also like to engage that conversation. So UFOs and paranormal and apparitions. Let's see, Carmen, where are we going to go next here?
I did want to say one other thing. At the time, I was actually teaching an adult ESL group, English as a second language, and most of my students were Hispanic. And one time in class, they asked me, "Do you believe in UFOs?" And I said, "Actually, now I do." And I said, "Why are you asking me that?" And they said, "Well, you know, we lived near Area 51, and we've actually spotted some, and nobody believes us, but we really have seen this." And then that kind of confirmed my thoughts on, yes, there really are things like that. They do exist.
They do exist, and sometimes the government or whoever, not even the government, you know, it's how it's presented sometimes. Sometimes you just might be in the right place at the right time or the wrong time in some cases. I mean, look at all the theories that we have out there right now on everything. I know people that are just very disbelievers, but then they're also very sheltered individuals too. They don't necessarily expand or want to expand their knowledge out any further than they feel comfortable doing so. And so, you know, in cases like this, of course they're not going to be a believer. They haven't really taken enough risk to want, but then on the other hand, there are times when I have to say, I don't know if I want to take enough risks either. Because the thing is if you get caught up with the UFOs and you have an experience, who is to say that these UFOs aren't going to come back and revisit you over and over and over again? And I think that would be the part right there that I just wouldn't want. But let's talk a little bit about reincarnation here. You know, we have always asked the question, where do we go when we die? You know, it's always the most popular question at all. Some people believe in reincarnation, other people don't. There's been absolutely a lot of fascinating stuff coming out again about the possibility that we might be reincarnated. And I think Carmen has a really, really cool, interesting, sad story, but very true to the fact. And I'm going to let you decide after she tells you about some of the things that have happened in a recent case in her family, whether or not you think this is purely coincidental or if you think that there might be something to it. So, Carmen, why don't you tell us a little bit about your, what was he, nephew?
Nephew, yes. My nephew Everett recently passed away. He was a pilot. He was a captain. He made captain at 26 years old. This is back in May. Recently, he came home from a flight and couldn't sleep and had a medication interaction, which caused him to go into a coma. His roommates, of course, checked on him, called 911. He was rushed to the hospital. My brother called me very early on Sunday, August 18th, and said, you know, he's in the hospital. I was in shock and disbelief. I said, no, don't tell me this. And my brother said, don't come to the hospital now. There's nothing we can do at this point. They're trying to get him out of the coma by warming him up and cooling him down, and they're taking all kinds of tests. I'll call you when I know more information. Well, the next day, of course, I went to the hospital, and I saw him connected to all kinds of tubes and things, and I just started to cry, and I said, no, Everett, you're going to come out of this. We need you. You can't. You're too young. Please, please know that we love you. And what happened is on August 23rd, my brother asked us all to come to the hospital. In fact, we had been there every single day. But he said, I want you to all come before 8:30 a.m. I need to talk to you. So that morning, my whole family and his in-laws and family drove to the hospital, and my oldest daughter picked up my mom, and they went to the hospital. And as they're going to the hospital, a white dove appeared on the hood of her car, and the white dove looked right through the windshield, and my mom and my daughter couldn't believe it. And then we get to the hospital, and my brother said, you know, in the night of August 23rd, Everett actually passed away. And we were just devastated. We had a small family memorial service at the hospital because he was also an organ donor. And they put a flag up, and we had a ceremony outside. Everybody mentioned wonderful things about my nephew, shared some stories that we had never heard before. And then my brother said, you know, we're going to have a service for everyone next week, and I'll let you know. Well, that day I came home after working at the state fair, and I was absolutely devastated. And all of a sudden in my home, I had these four mugs or cups with different flamingo patterns on them, and one of them was a dark blue or a kind of a baby blue color, and it was sitting on the left of my shelf, all four cups. And suddenly I heard something drop to the floor, and I see that the cup is on the other side, dropped to the floor, and the handle came off. And I said to my husband, did you move that cup? Did you put it on the edge here? And he said, no, the four of them were together on the right side. And then I look, and it's on the floor. And then the next day, my mom calls me and says, do you know what happened? 2 days in a row, both Saturday, I guess she called me Saturday after 6 p.m., and said, what happened is our daughter, middle daughter, who also works for Delta Airlines, had made my mom a beautiful wreath out of Christmas ornaments, the round balls, and had intertwined it with Christmas lights. They were white, and it had a little thing that held batteries. And my mom said exactly at 5:45 p.m. on Saturday, the lights on that wreath came on. She looked to see if it was turned on, and it was said off. Then she went and got her glasses and looked at it again and said, it's on off, but these lights are on. And so then she said, she called me and told me this. The next day she called me again and said the same thing happened. And so I don't know what the significance is, but I told her that her grandson and my nephew are probably trying to tell her that he's here, because she was very close to him and actually was the last person to see him alive. I also had it happen where, again, something dropped off a bench, a little short glass with some Johnny Pop, like popsicle sticks in it. And each of these sticks had a message of kindness. And Everett was very kind, very compassionate, good-hearted person. And it said, you know, call a friend. Be kind to someone. Take time to love someone and smile. Take care of a pet today. They were all very inspirational messages, and all these were on the floor. And I said, you know what? Now he's here with me. The other thing is that before or right after the 23rd or before the 23rd of August, one of the roommates of my nephew came up to me and he was crying and he said, I have to tell you something. Can I hug you? And then I'll tell you about my dream. And he said, I dreamt last night Everett was in my dream and also the image of a newborn baby. I said, oh, maybe it has something to do with reincarnation. And he said, I don't know. He said, I'm very religious. I'm a Christian. I believe that Everett was trying to tell me something. And we left it at that. Well, then our youngest daughter works at a hospital in birth and delivery. And two people, parents of a newborn child, came up to her and said that they were asked to come in because there was something wrong with the birth certificate and my daughter had to correct it. And when she said, what is the baby's name? They said, Everett. And he was born on the 23rd, the day our Everett passed away. And she said, she told them the story and they just couldn't believe it. And so after hearing that, we all thought, well, that was the image of the newborn child. And so I just can't talk about it anymore.
Well, I think that, no, it's okay. I know it's very close and it's quite soon still. It's still fresh in her mind. Don't you find that, and I'm asking this to all of you, don't you find this to be a little bit too coincidental? You know, you've got white doves landing on cars, you've got people dreaming things, and then all of a sudden, you know, a newborn baby is born and they name the newborn Everett. What are the chances? And I didn't even know Everett was even a common name right now. I thought that we're still into our Hollywood names out there. So it's just sometimes when we have these experiences, I don't really know. A lot of us discount them because we're not really sure how to take them. But Carmen and I have also something very much in common. And so anyway, heartfelt on that. And, you know, keep us posted if you see any more signs coming up on that. Carmen and I also have a similar experience with telephones. And I think that that's going to be interesting to you. And I'll start with mine and then I will have her jump in and tell you what happened with her because I think hers is a little bit more compelling. So when my father died a few years ago, just probably 2-3 years ago, I think we're going on the third anniversary of that. Most of you know that I do a lot with psychics sometimes. And then, of course, in the process of having our own, you know, what I need to figure out, things will come up in a reading. And one of them told me once that my dad would try to reach out to me. And how he was going to do that is he was going to do that by the telephone. And I said, it's never going to happen because I don't answer the phone because there's too many of these robocalls and scam callers. And I said, I just don't answer the phone anymore. Many of you can probably relate to that. So if it's important, you know, they leave a message. So one day I'm at, and I think I might have mentioned this on one of my shows way back when, but I was sitting at the kitchen table just doing something, and we did not live in a country where there was any barn smells or anything like that. And all of a sudden I found myself being in, not just yet, the phone rang. And I turned and I looked, and it was a landline, and I looked over and I thought, I'll just go see who it is. Most of the time you can at least see if they're from a different state, you know. And it said 000000000. And I looked at it and I thought, is it possible? Could this be the phone call? And I just said, I can't answer you. I just cannot answer this phone. The minute you answer the phone, you'll never leave me alone. And I'm not talking about my father here. I was thinking it was someone else. Well, long story short, I never answered that, but I think it was either the same day or a day later when I was absolutely engulfed in a barn smell, a smell that was very recognizable from when my dad was a hobby farmer. And keep in mind, again, I didn't live anywhere near a farm or anything. It just was like all over me and almost suffocating me. And that's when I knew that that was my dad reaching out to me. There was no other explanation for that. I never smelt the smell since. And I could go on and on about that. But Carmen, you also had a telephone call, but yours is a little bit more interesting because yours actually spoke to you. Tell us a little bit about that phone call.
Well, after my dad passed away, I received a phone call maybe 2-3 days after that happened, and it was my dad calling, and I started to notice, well, I didn't answer the phone, so it went to a message, and so I pressed on the message button, and here's my dad talking to me saying, "Carmen, Carmen, why aren't you answering? Where are you? Where are you?" And it was definitely my dad. He had a very heavy accent from Europe, and it was him, and I actually saved that message. I unplugged that phone and bought a different phone so that I could save it forever and have my dad talk to me. I also know that my sister from Arizona contacted me and said, "You know, my TV has been coming on lately in the middle of the night, and either I or my husband get up and shut it off, and then in the morning we say, 'Oh, were you watching TV last night?' And her husband would say no, and then it happened again, maybe 2-3 nights in a row. And one of my dad's very favorite programs was MASH, and it happened that MASH had to be on at that time, and the TV came on by itself. And my sister said, "You know, I was probably closer to dad than anyone in the family because she's younger than me, and it was sort of his baby girl." And she said, "I know it was dad. It had to be dad." And she mentioned other things, like things falling off the wall or tipping over on a cabinet. And so we're convinced that my dad was trying to reach out to us.
Yeah, and so when these things happen, we think, "Oh, is this a coincidence? This is odd. Oh, maybe something vibrated and they came off the shelf." You know, there's many things that we discount this for, and these are just some type of a sign from somebody saying, you know, something, loved one or someone trying to communicate to us through these types of signs. And yes, and so the other thing, though, that we were going to talk about is your daughter, Jane, because we only have about 3 minutes left of this program, and the question comes to you or comes back about this quote-unquote, tell us a little bit about this perfume bottle and this house that she currently lives in.
Well, my oldest daughter bought a home. It's over 100 years old. This happened when she probably lived there the first year. She made the comment to me that maybe the house is haunted. And I said, "Why do you say that?" And she said, "Well, when you and Dad came over to let out the dogs, did you happen to go upstairs and leave the door wide open?" And I said, "No, we didn't even go upstairs." And she said, "Well, I have this door that's sort of boarded up in a way, because if you open it, it's on the upper floor. There's no balcony or deck there, so it's sort of been boarded up so nobody will fall out of it. And when she came home, that door was wide open, and it was windy, and through the screen, it was just blowing wind." And she said, "There's no way that that door would have popped open by itself, because it was locked with a latch and She wanted to make sure no one would ever open that door. And so that was the first strange thing that happened. Then another time she had water in her basement, and the next door neighbor happened to actually work for the city and came over to take a look. And he was checking out her plumbing, and then he said, oh, there's a drain, and it was plugged. So he unplugged it, and then she said to him, what's behind this little wooden door? And he opened it, and he looked, and he said, you know, that's the old plumbing. I wouldn't even touch that. So she shut that door, and the neighbor was over, and it had a little hook with a latch, so they closed it up, and she didn't think anything of it. And then one day she went down to do laundry, and she noticed four nails in that door. Someone had nailed it shut. So again, she called my husband and I and said, did you get spooked out or something in my basement and put nails in that little door? And we said, no, we don't even go down in the basement. And she said, well, someone actually pounded nails in there, and Mom, I think you did that. And I said, no, I didn't. I can hardly get a nail in the wall to hang a picture. Then weeks later, she notices a square bottle of, it was black, with a silver top, men's cologne, calls my husband, Dad, did you leave cologne on the top of my refrigerator? My husband doesn't use cologne. He's highly allergic to it. If he smells cologne, he sneezes and he gets a headache. I don't wear cologne. It couldn't be me. I wouldn't buy a men's cologne. Then she called our son and he said the same thing. Jane, I don't even use that cologne. I don't even buy that brand. And Jane said, well, somebody's left it up there. Somebody's been in my house. And we all convinced her that none of us left that cologne. And so these strange things have happened.
Pretty interesting stuff, huh? Well, and I'm sure many of you could add to those stories, and you could probably tell us a few things that we haven't heard yet either. Clones that are clone that's showing up and disappearing. I'm sure, well, you've got that, but the question is, what did she do with that clone afterwards? Did she do anything with it at all or what?
We took it
home. Oh, you just took it home. Yeah. I mean, it's like, okay. But I've heard of things showing up before and then disappearing again, on that note. And of course, I find this interesting with the nails and everything. It's almost like something just seriously doesn't want you to tamper with something or be a part of something or whatever. And we hear of this stuff all the time, but yet we discount it and we ask, well, what truly is going on or who's doing it or how is it doing it? The answer is, I don't think many of us know. And so I hope that you learned a few new things tonight with this show. This is what I call a very exciting show because it encompasses so many different types of aspects of the paranormal. And yet you've got two people sitting right here just engaging in the very idea that this stuff does happen. And, it probably has happened to most of you. So Carmen, on that note, I thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kelly. I appreciate you giving me time to talk about this.
Yep, no problem. And we'll have to have you back on again sometime in the future once you and I both collect new stories to be able to share with people as we move forward with this topic. So, coincidence or not coincidence? I guess we'll have to leave that in your hands now. Thank you for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. Please stay tuned as I hope to bring you again new and exciting episodes as we move through the rest of this year. Thank you and good night.
Be careful what you wish for.
My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.